I think this is so geschmack. I mean, I think it's unbelievable. Rabotai, I think we'll be never ever will be as prepared as this Pesach Yemitz Hashem, because it is a good. It's a good few month learning. It is. It will take us quite a while, and I think it's amazing. Shat Lishma. It's brilliant how we are starting just now. And the truth is that the year is divided into two cycles. I just thought of that today. The year is divided into two cycles. There is the Pesach till Sukkot half year. And then there's a Sukkot still Pesach half year. It really is. It works out amazing. So just having completed the half year leading to the climax of Sukkot and Simchas Torah, we're now ready to start the other half year, which is leading towards Pesach. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think we'll be very, very prepared indeed. And the halachas are very complex. And it's great that, the way the chelik works is that the beginning is the starting of Hilchas Chodesh Nissan, and then it goes into Ptikas Chometz, and then it goes into Halachas of Chometz, and Hagolas Kelim, etc., and Tarovis Chometz, and then it eventually leads into Hilchas Matzah, and then eventually leads into the Halachas of the Leda Seder, which is quite a lot of Halachas. Who aren't completed with that, it leads to the second part of the Chilek is actually Ilchaz Yom Tov, very complex Halachas, and it's great. I think it works out beautifully. Probably not quite. I think we'll be well prepared. Yeah, so that's the plan, Be'ez Hashem. Good. So, and it's quite. It is amazing because the first halacha we're going to be learning tonight in Mitzvah Hashem is very much this concept of preparing ourselves for the Yom Tovim. So let's start. Indeed, with Pesach. You all got a chelek. You all got one. They should be available over there. They should be available. They should be. It's volume number 13. There should be. Have you got one? Yeah. Okay. Good. As in the past 7 years, Pasiat Dishmaya, it's great. Throughout the winter, the shiur is at 8 o'clock, following the 7:45 ma'ariv. So that's Be'ez Hashem. It's great. Yes, you're making it. Is that assumed for you? You've completed a cycle, Be'ez Hashem. The whiskey. Yes, the whiskey. I know the answer because whiskey with Pesach, that somehow clashes. Doesn't go. Yeah. So Baruch Hashem, yes. Who else is that assumed for anybody else? Yeah, job is brilliant, amazing, Baruch Hashem. So it works, Baruch Hashem. Okay, very good, yes. Okay, Rabbi, let us learn a little bit. She'enofni al pneyem, Silchas Pesach starts, she'enofni al pneyem, b'chol chodesh nissen. No tachanun, chodesh nissen. So the halacha is as follows. If Aleph Shalim b'ilchas Pesach, kodem Pesach. This siman teaches us that shoylin bilchaz haPesach, we seek, we ask, we want to find out the halachas of Pesach before Pesach, 30 days. So we're machmir, Rabbi said, we're machmir this year. We're doing well over the 30 days. We're doing 5 month plus. Hope we're paying ourselves for Bilchaz Pesach. But it's very much in line with that. That yes, a person has to be well prepared, and shoylin bilchaz Pesach kodem haPesach 30 days. It's interesting. Somebody asked me just before Yom Tov. Somebody asked me that. Why is it that the name of the siman is, what's the name of the siman? It's she'ein nofni al pnei b'chol chodesh nissen, that we don't say tachanun. Well, it's the first halacha has nothing to do with it. The first halacha is that what? We don't say tachanun, the whole chodesh nissen. Which is interesting. Normally, the title of the siman will have a connection to the first halacha, and it doesn't have any connection here. It's quite interesting, actually. So the halacha is that we have to ask 30 days before Pesach, we have to ask the halachas. Now, Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Aleph tells us, Shalim b'chaz Pesach, Sharei Moshe Oymed b'Pesach Rishon, and the source for this is that Moshe Rabbeinu stood on Pesach Rishon, on the first Pesach, Umaziron, and taught the Yidden, taught the nation about Kol Hilchos Pesach Sheni, about all the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So, yes, there was 30 days gap, 30 days preparation to prepare for the real Pesach, and in line with what Moshe Rabbeinu did, so we do as well, prepare ourselves at least 30 days. V'adin b'shayim tovim, this doesn't only apply with regards to Pesach, in fact, it applies to other Yom Tovim as well. Certainly so with regards to Sukkot. If you want to be well prepared, you're going to start learning the halachas of Sukkot also 30 days in advance. There's a question as to whether Shavuos also has this halacha. What would be the argument that it doesn't? What would be the argument that Shavuos does not? There's very little halachas nowadays. Very few halachas that are relevant to us. You know, what bochi make on the cheesecake. when you have the cheesecake. You don't need 30 days for that. So there's less. Interesting, the poskim do discuss as to whether this 30 days preparation also applies regards to Purim. And the consensus that it doesn't. But there's a discussion amongst the chayim as to whether you've got to have to prepare yourself for Purim as well. Now, Rabbi, say, how do we fulfill this halacha generally of Shloshim? Again, we are going to be well prepared, but in general, how do we prepare ourselves with this? How does it normally work, the 30 days preparation? Is everybody obligated to start learning Mishneh Berurah during the Diyur Shel Shir for at least 30 days to prepare for Pesach? Is that really... Pardon? Yeah, on Purim. Is that what people do? Tuesday when you start learning Hilchos Pesach. So is that what you're going to do before Sukkot, 30 days? You know? Yeah, so that's ideal. I want to say that the Maisa, the Poskim, are Miyashiv, the Minhag HaOlam, that many people don't. Many people don't learn as formally and as properly as we do. As we should. And they say that some of it has to do with the Shabbos HaGodol Rosh and the Shabbos Shuvot Rosh, which is universally integrated in Klal Yisrael. And since the Rav will normally spend some time reminding and summarizing the important key halachas, so therefore that will cover the main concept of Shloshim Yoim. So it isn't 30 days, and it probably isn't so much of it, but the concept of reminding the halacha is to some extent fulfilled and kept with the Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Shuvot Rosh, which is done before the Yom Tovim. Yeah. Yeah, but it should also include some halachas, and many abonim will be makpid to do that as well. Now, you mentioned that the 30 days, when is the 30, you mentioned very correctly, when is the 30 days before Pesach, when is that? Purim, it happens to be on Purim. So, so Reb Shlomo Zalman was taka makbet, and a lot of people follow in that minute, Reb Shlomo Zalman was makbet on the Purim Suda, before the Purim Suda, he would take out a bit of Mishneh Berurah, or Kitzah indeed, and remind the Mesubim to start learning on Purim itself, to start learning a little bit of Hilchos Pesach, to fulfill the takona of Sholim Hilchos Pesach, Koitim Pesach, Shloshim Yoim. So on Purim, he would actually learn a bit of Hilchos Pesach, on the Purim Suda, just before prior to the Purim Suda. Now, where the minhag is ancient, and that's what Mishneh Berurah points out, in Sifkot and Gimel, Uminek Kodum is Managabod, is an ancient minhag from the times of the Gemara. Let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara says, the minhag liknois chitim. And the minhag, the custom is to purchase chitim, wheat, lechalkon, to distribute them, la'anim, to poor people, lechalkon, Pesach, for Pesach, for chol mi shedor be'ir, yud beis chodesh, to chitin azeh. Whoever is a resident in that particular city for 12 months, he is obligated to give. Okay, so there's two parts of this halacha. The first part of this halacha is minhag liknois chitim, to purchase wheat for the poor people. Why wheat? Why wheat? For matzahs, Mishneh Berurah says, minhag uminhag kodom, is an ancient minhag, mizman ha-gemara, from times of the Gemara, v'uvad was a Yerushalmi, this comes from Yerushalmi, the first pig of Abasa, v'cholim bnei o'ir lichvois ze lo ze le'inyon ze. You can force and impose people to give that stocker. Mishneh Berurah says, if somebody doesn't give this mois, chitin as it's called, money for wheat, for the poor people to make and bake matzahs, you can force them. It's like a tax. It's like a tax. And like with the normal tax, people try to... people don't try chas v'sholem, but, there is an idea of perhaps... So similarly also, that's it. So similarly also with regards to, that's also tax. Anybody in a resident in the city, this was well established in previous generation that you've got to pay. There used to be the equivalent of invoices sent to every resident in the city. You have to pay the mois chitin. And that wasn't just the equivalent of 10, 15, 18, 20 pounds, but far more than that. You have to give a very generous proportion of your income towards mois chitin, if you're able to do so. And in fact, the poskim discuss as to whether you can give ma'aser money for that or not. To concept Shlomo Zalman, Avodah Shel Paskin, you can give ma'aser money, but it has to be a very, in fact, the question is how much am I going to give? How much am I going to give? How much is, we said not 10, 15, 20 pounds, so how much is the appropriate amount to give? Yes. No, this is clearly to something which is the Bnei Iroi. Moshe Chitin comes before, he has to come to the residents of your community. Mishnebunin Tzif Kotten Dalet says, Chitin lechalkon, midinaseinu aminik lechalek lo en kemach. And our meaning is, we give wheat, shaledizem mikavon yosan tfei, because by giving wheat, or by giving, yeah, by giving wheat, it's easier for them to actually produce matzahs from that. V'shira nesina, how much are we going to give? So hear what the Mishnebunin says. Hu kifitzoko lecholim mea Pesach. It's as much needed over Pesach. So how much does a yid need over Pesach? It's 4 digits, no? It's 4 digits. That's shira nesina. Obviously, not everybody can give that kind of money. But ideally, we have to look at, that's how much really, gives a bit of an idea how much Moshe Chitin is meant to be. It's an enormous amount. You can't give, you can't support a whole family. Not many can give a whole family's worth of Moshe Chitin. But ideally, if you can give, that's really how much. But we're talking about real money. That's how you speak. Yeah, but if you can't give that much, then give a little bit less. But that's the obligation of the ancient minhag of giving Moshe Chitin. Now, so the Mishnah, the Ramah continues on top of page 4, and he says, the Ramah is answering, who actually needs to give that money? Who needs to give it? And the Ramah says, whoever's been living in that city, who's been in resident for 12 months, you're obligated in that, in Moshe Chitin. So, I suppose nowadays it's not so, most of us, yes, we're going to be living in residence in one particular place. We're not going to move around so much. But it may be relevant for young families. I'm trying to remember when I was a younger man and I came for Yom Tov. And I just got married when I came for Yom Tov. So am I obligated then to give Moshe Chitin or not? And if yes, where? That's the closest relevant question, I suppose. If somebody just comes to his in-laws or to his parents for Yom Tov, what is the obligation of Moshe Chitin? So it appears from this Ramah that Halacha is what? Yeah, that if you have to be Mordeh, you have to be Dor Be'ir, you have to be a resident in that city for 12 months. So assuming you don't want to stay by your in-laws for 12 months, then you're not obligated to give Moshe Chitin in that particular place. So you're probably obligated to give Moshe Chitin where you actually live. And there's a great amount of discussion in the Poskim, what is exactly considered a Toshav. But I suppose if you're not living there, the Ramah says, if you're not there for 12 months, then if you're not intending to be there for 12 months, then you don't have to give Moshe Chitin in that particular place. Yeah. Mishnah Yosef Cotton Vav tells us as follows. He was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Six line of the wide lines. Now that's interesting that even if you're a Talmid Chacham that normally is exempt from tax, this is an old established rule that Talmid Chachamim who are spending their entire days learning, they are exempt from tax, which by the way, may I mention, this is actually something which is not only I believe it's not just a Jewish established. I think that even in the Gentile world, we find that people who are studying or certainly studying religious practice, they're exempt from paying tax. Right? I think that's an established rule. Although a person normally who is sitting and learning doesn't have to pay the communal taxes. And I don't have chovus towards the community per se, but when it comes towards Moshe Chitin and Kimcha de Pescha, the Mishlibur paskens that even the Talmud Chacham, which normally is exempt from tax, he has to give Moshe Chitin. He has to give Moshe Chitin. Nobody's exempt from that. I am Pimigodim. Shiran Esina, and here again, how much does a person need to give? Tzurich Laharich is to be measured and evaluated. Al Kol Echel Lefim Emoni, according to his wealth, how much he can give, that's how much he should give. Ve'eile, Hamishtam Timatzmon, those who free themselves, who are seeking legal loopholes, or perhaps not so legal loopholes, Militin Kemach Lanim, who are not giving the flour for the poor, Yidin Yesh Ovoin Beyodom, they are doing a great sin. Vehine and it is known, Vini Yoduat is known, She'einei Yohanim, it is well known that the poor Yidin, their eyes, Nesuiz, the eyes of the Yidin are towards, they are not expecting, but they are relying. To relying on Kimcha de Pesach. They're relying on it. They need it. They can't cover the Pesach without it. And v'ksheim yish'aru b'tchak uv'rov o'inim, for they are not getting enough uv'rov o'in, and they are hungry, cholila, and they don't have enough for covering their expenses. V'u'yalim, ayim azen, a person who can give, is not giving as much as he should do. Yodua ma'asha omu ha'gemorah, that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, kol tainas, anshom b'ferejashi, hu gam ken kinezeh. That if the Gemara uses an expression of shofech domim, person who doesn't give as much as he can, and people are really needy, then cholila is considered a bit like shofech domim. We gam ken ken in zeh. Right, that's with regards to the obligation of mois chitin. But it's a good question in terms of where do we give mois chitin, because we get lots of appeals in England over here. Everybody, we get loads and loads of letters. So we have to remember that our main obligation, based on what we're seeing now, what is our main obligation? Yeah, I mean, we're getting, there's such a...
Is the ear Edgeway or London?
That's a good question. And I'm not joking, but it depends. If you're asking the Abonim in central London, they'll give you a different psak than if you ask the Edgeway Abonim. It's an interesting question. There is probably, I think it's probably fair to say that there is a... What do you think?
I don't know, would you call gold as queen of sackcloth?
It's an old question. It's a real question.
One.
Yeah, gold screen hand goes at one. It's a question as to whether Edgeway is considered part of the Northwest London...
Quite a lot of connections.
Yes, so it's to some extent it's a political question. And to a large extent, it's a halachi question. It's not clear. There are many rabbonim who hold that Edgeway is his entire. Avshneberg once told me that he really looks at Edgeway being a completely separate unit. If we go according to this mahalach, and he said that years ago, I don't know if that's changed or not, but that's something which he told me. I'm not sure. Yeah, you could look at it. Yeah, you could look at that. So if that's true, then by sending money to the great stocker organization in Northwest London, we're probably not fulfilling our obligation, because we've got to give it centralized in Edgeway then. And Kimcha de Pesach means very literally those envelopes are on the beam and before Yom Tov. Then that's Kimcha de Pesach. If you're looking at Edgeway being part of the Northwest London picture, and you can probably, then you certainly can fulfill the mitzvah of Kimcha de Pesach by giving to the great distribution organization in Northwest London. Yeah, but it is something about... the local locality of it. It's a din in the ear. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, Siv Beis teaches us the halacha that we mentioned earlier. In Ofen al Pnei B'chol Chodesh Nissen, we do not say Tachanun the entire Nissen. What about Tisha, by the way? What about Tisha? Tisha? Yeah, we do say, correct. We do say, and now, after Yom Tov? Minhagim Shonim. Some people go for it already, we're out of Tachnun already for a while, so we're finishing off the month like this, especially if there's a Thursday or a Monday, right? And others say there's no Makoy really to refrain. And so it's true, it's Minhagim, it's really boils down to Minhagim. It's a minikim. But as opposed to in Chodesh Nissen, it's an absolute clear halacha. Enof nal pnei b'chol Chodesh Nissen. We will not say Tachanun the entire month of Nissen. Ve'ein omrim tzidkoscha b'shabbos b'mincha. We will similarly not say tzidkoscha Shabbos afternoon b'mincha. That's always connected. Tachanun with tzidkoscha is always connected. Ve'ein maspidim boich. If chalila b'aminon there is a hesped, we do not say hesped on the entire month of Nissen. Ve'ein emes anin. Boy, lehaskir betzibul. Similarly, also we do not mention lehaskir. We do not mention and propose, not propose. We do not state and make a tanis tzibul. As we know, there's halachas with regards to making a tanis tzibul. A tanis tzibul, if the tanis needs to be established, it needs to be decreed in public. We will not decree the actual decree. We will not decree in public a tanis tzibul during the entire Chodesh Nissan. However, the only exception is that B'chor is misanin boy by Erev Pesach. However, the B'chor will fast on Erev Pesach. Do they?
Not usually.
Misanin is any? Do you know any firstborns actually do fast? Anybody knows? Some people have tried it. I'm not a firstborn, but some people have tried it. It's not advisable. It really isn't advisable. It's just because of the Seder. You break your fast with Kizesa. Even the ones who fasted only do Chatzos. I know people have attempted to do the. It doesn't say it's a half day fast. Yeah, Fabuchos Misanei Boi Be'er Pesach seems to refer to a whole day fast. The Maestro, it's accepted the custom that we break the fast by soon. But I must say, it is a chiddush. I've looked at every year. It bothers me again because if it is a real fast, Fabuchos Misanei Boi Be'er Pesach. Who is the firstborn over here? Yeah. So if it is a real fast, I mean. Imagine at some gedaliah, you'd break at some gedaliah going to assume like a half, like assume just like pick off assume. You never mind a pick off assume. Like you finish Masechah Sanhedrin, Bava Basra, you finished Masechah Shabbos, you learned it for 3 years straight, and it happens to be falling on some gedaliah. Well, you're going to make assume and break the fast? You're not going to, because it's a fast. And here, it's just for becholes. It's intrinsically a different type of fast. Yeah. So whilst I agree with you, and that must be the answer, and Avotna speaks about it a lot, and Avhenken speaks about it, and you must be right, but it's not evident from the Shulchan Aruch's words. And if you look at the Mishnah, you won't see that explicitly either, but it seems to be that the fast initially has been established as a different kind of fast. So that's the good news. Having said that, it happens to be that today I came across, isn't that interesting? Today I came across a newspaper. It's not really a newspaper. It's more like Yachon, like of Chidush HaTorah, which was printed in the 1930s in Hungary. And with that is guidelines of Erev Pesach. And it seems to be, it's interesting, it just happens to end up in my hands today. And Psokim written by the Bez Din and by the Bishol Veltz and Rabbonim and the Yonim in Hungary in the 1930s, early 1930s. And over there, they speak about Tainis Bechoras as if it's a regular fast. It's very interesting. You could see that I might be wrong, but it seems to be quite a recent thing that we do what we do. It might be for good reason, but it seems to be quite...
Mondays and Thursdays, you get used to it. In those days, they also...
They fasted much more, absolutely.
And when you fast more, you get used to it.
You get used to it, absolutely, yeah. It is definitely true what you're saying, that people used to fast much more than we fast now. Today's, we darshan for weeks about the Yom Kippur and the Tisha B'Av. We talk about it for weeks. In the olden days, people fasted much more, absolutely, 100%. You're right. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. So anyway, what we see over here, the Shulchan Aruch states, clear up, B'chor, Mis'anim, Boi, Be'er, Pesach. And you're right. And the mindset, I want to just point out, the poets can speak about nowadays us being weaker and fast being more difficult to fast. And it's a registered concept that we're finding fasting more difficult than perhaps our grandparents. But there's definitely some dynamics which have changed.
Also, just because it's
Erev Yom Tov. Yeah, perhaps it might be as well. Yeah. Okay, we're going to leave out the Ramah for there, but just want to point out what the Mishnah Berurah says. Why is it that we don't do Tachanun, the first halacha in Sif Beis? Why don't we do Tachanun the entire month of Nissan? Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Kotten Beis as follows. Look at that. B'chol Chodesh Nissan, Mipnei, Sheshneim Osa Nissim, Mikiv, V'Bishnei Osa Yomim, 12 Nissim of 12 days, V'kolim Yaakov B'no Yom Tov Shaloi, and every day that they brought the Korban was Yom Tov. Okay, that's 12 days, gone. No Tachanun on 12 days because of the Nesiim, Erev Pesach. We don't ever say Tachanun on Erev Yom Tov. That's 13. V'Yimei Pesach, Gufa. Yimei Pesach, that's another how many days? So that's, where are we holding? 13 plus 8. Where are we holding? Isruchag. Okay, and therefore, imken yotzer rov ha-chodesh b'kedusha. You've got the majority of the month, well over half the month, and therefore, lefichach oisim kula kodesh, we make the entire month kodesh. Now, I want to just point out the word which I only noticed today. It is not the first time I'm seeing this Mishnah Berurah, but it's definitely the first time that I'm catching on to this word. What is the key word of this Mishnah Berurah? I never saw that. I never had that. Imken yotzer rov ha-chodesh, what's the word? Kedusha. It's sacred, it's holy. It's heilig, lefichach, therefore, oisim kula kodesh, we make the entire month holy. So first of all, we're seeing that saying Tachanun is a clash to Kedusha, which I didn't know. Didn't know that. Needs to be thought about. And the other thing is that it's a holy month. I never knew that. It's a holy month. That's what Mishnah Berurah teaches us. And it was a special month. And it was a month of Cherus. And it was a month of Geula. And it was a month of... But here we're learning that it's a month of Kedusha. I never knew that. Mishnah Berurah is teaching us. I don't know what the Makor is. It's a holy month. So that's something to consider. Okay, Rabbi said to summarize what we covered this evening. We learned. Moshe Rabbeinu started preparing the nation 30 days in advance, and so do we. We prepare 30 months in advance. This doesn't only apply to Pesach; it applies to other Yom Tovim as well. We learned that at these first days, strictly speaking, 30 days before is Purim. We then spoke about Moiz Chitin, which is the Kimcha de Pesach, which is the obligation of everybody who is a resident in a particular city to contribute and towards the poor people. It used to be wheat or grain. Nowadays, we obviously don't do that so much. It's changed a little bit, but it's certainly the idea is to help the poor people to get through the Yom Tov. Everybody to how much he can give, so that's how much he should give. We defined what is a resident in a city, that's somebody who is living there for 12 months. And then we learned in Sif Beis that there's no Tachanun because of its, the month has got greater Kedusha. That's why we don't say Tachanun, and the most majority of the month we don't say Tachanun anyway, so it's going to increase Kedusha. We said we don't say Tzitkos, Chobash, Shabbos, Mincha the entire month. No Hespedim, if Bamenon, somebody's Nifta. We don't mention it at Tanis Tzibur, and we spoke about Tanis Bukhos briefly as well. We'll continue with the Ramo tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. I wish you a very, very good evening.